Good morning. We greet you this morning with the joy of the Lord. You're listening to the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I welcome you to our Bible study for the morning, our virtual Bible study for the morning. And we just thank God for this opportunity to be together. Though, again, it's in a virtual setting, we do thank God for providing this avenue of study time with our membership. And so on today, we will begin a new lesson series. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Peter. Very, very familiar character from the New Testament, and one that is prominent.
If you suffer from diabetes.
Prominent in our understanding of the continual journey of Christianity in the early days. We can't talk about early church without talking about Peter. So we're going to dive into a little bit of background, and then we're going to look at his letters that are associated with him. And so today, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to join with us in the study of the Apostle Peter. But let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we are going to dive right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we come on today to say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to be together and study. We pray that you would be in the midst, and we do pray, Lord God, as we share your word, that you will give us clarity of speech and thought. And that you, Lord God, will lead us in the things that we need to share. Bring to our remembrance those things, Lord God, that are to be a part of this lesson. And we pray, Lord God, that we all are blessed and that we all gain something from the sharing of God's word as we delve into this personality, the Apostle Peter. We do pray, God, that you will open our minds, that we will be able to see all that it is that you have for us to see. In Jesus' wonderful name, we do pray, and we say thank you, Lord God. Amen. All right, saints, I hope and pray that you have your lesson in front of you or not, a pen, so that you can jot down those things that you need to put on your lesson when you do receive it. And again, I want to say to our sister Constant Boyd, thank you for helping out and getting that information out to everyone. And then again, it is on our website. Sister Deborah has made that available. So you can go to our website and download it or print out a copy for your viewing. And then certainly those that are waiting for it, it is in the mail or will be in the mail. So again, we're talking about the Apostle Peter. We're going to be sharing most of our information from the Bible, but there will be some pointers that we have pulled from extra biblical information just to give you an overall view of this individual. The Apostle Peter. When we begin, I want you to jot down on your paper. You don't have to share this with anybody. Take a moment right now, everybody, and put down your first impression. When you think of the Apostle Peter, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Just put it anywhere on your worksheet or a separate piece of paper. We're going to come back to that. But I want you right now, when somebody says the name Peter, what's your first thought? What comes to mind when you see that name or hear about that individual? Jot it down on your paper. We are going to be talking from this verse, John 21 and 22. Jesus said to him, "You follow me." Jesus said to him, the him being Peter, "You follow me." And we know from the Bible that Peter was one of the early disciples who was called into the ministry by his brother. And how many of us are called into the ministry by someone else, and yet we seemingly surpass them in our relationship with our Lord. And that seemingly what happened with Peter and his brother. And I don't want to go ahead of myself, but that's seemingly what happened with Peter and his brother. Though his brother called him into the ministry, there was something in Peter that drove him to continue to be propelled forward in his desire to please the Lord. Not to say Andrew didn't, but Peter seemed to have been on this course to keep going forward and to be a strong person of interest in, again, the early church. So who was Peter? That's where we're going to start on today. And if you have your pens, pull them out. I'm going to be giving you some inserts for those blank spaces you see there on your sheets. And we're going to begin with the thought, who is Peter? Your worksheet says there, asks the question, who is Peter? A, we may wonder what Jesus saw in this person, imperfected as he was, as we see his life unfold in the scriptures. But as with all of us, Jesus sees, get this, the potential, the possibility, and the promise. Let me repeat that so that you have time to write that in your worksheet. We may wonder what Jesus saw in this person, imperfect as he was. And so as we look at his life unfold in the scriptures, we get an understanding that not only with Peter, but with all of us, Jesus sees the what? He sees the potential, the possibility, and the promise. Jesus sees the potential, the possibility, and the promise. The potential, the possibility, and the promise. And he calls us, Jesus calls us, based on his need of us and our willingness. He calls us based on his need of us and our willingness. So when Jesus sees this potential, this possibility, and this promise in front of him, he sees what we are going to become before we become that person. And so it was with Peter, and so it is with us. And then he calls us. When he calls us, he's calling it on his need of us and our willingness to serve. Amen. So you have a willing heart today to serve the Lord. Let's go to item letter C. And when he called the disciple Peter, when Jesus called the disciple Peter, he wasn't just looking for models, but he was looking for real people. He was looking for real people to do his bidding. He wasn't just looking for models, somebody to be an example only. He was looking for real people. And so keep that in mind when you feel like the Lord can't use you. Yes, he can, because he is looking again for those that have a willing heart and spirit. And he sees already the potential in you, the possibility in you, and the promise in you. He's looking for real individuals to do his bidding. Item letter D. He chose people who could be, he chose people who could be changed. That's right, changed. Because again, he sees this imperfect individual, but he sees also that you can be changed, that you have a heart that can be malleable, and change is malleable and changeable. So he choose people who could be changed by his love. Isn't it what Bishop talked about today, that you will be known as my disciples because of the love you show? And that love changes you first. And that's why the fascination of Jesus works, because it works on you first. And then because of that changed individual that you are or become, you are able to infect others with the love of God. So he chose people who could be changed by his love, and then sent them out to communicate his acceptance was available to everyone. So he chose people who could be changed by his love, and then sent them out to communicate that his acceptance was available to all, or to everyone. Item E. It is available. That acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that fellowship with him, is available to anyone willing to receive him. And even those of us who oftentimes fail. That acceptance of Jesus is available to anyone willing to receive him, even to those of us who sometimes or often fail. That's right. You may look at yourself and say, oh, I'm not ready yet because of this and that in my life, and you feel like a failure. Others may try to claim that over you. But Jesus is saying, you can still be accepted into my fold, and that what I have to offer is offered to you and to everyone that is willing to receive me. Even if you have failed in the past, you still can be a part of my work. So Jesus chooses us, and then he sends us out on a mission. If we were in the same setting today, I would say to you, we're all on assignment. And I would say, look at your neighbor and touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, we are all on assignment. Yes, all of us in the body have an assignment to do. Now, all of us may have different assignments, and sometimes our assignments may coincide, and sometimes our assignments may look different to those of us in a different flock, but we are all on assignment. Yes, all of us have a work that God wants us to do, that he needs us to fulfill in Kingdom Builder. All of us have an assignment that God wants us to do and to fulfill in Kingdom Building. So keep that in mind. Not only talk to your neighbor, but touch yourself and say, I am on assignment. Item F. We can gain a lot from this disciple called Peter. For he helps us to see that we don't have to be perfect. P-E-R-F-E-C-T. We don't have to be perfect to be used of God. That's one of the things we can get from Peter. We can see that we don't have to be perfect. And like Peter, when God calls us and equips us and to do his work, we too can go out and do great things for him in spite of our missteps. Amen. When God calls us, he equips us to be able to go out and do great things on his behalf. So again, let me share with you this simple message from the overview of Peter's life. We are all on assignment, and even though we may not feel we are this great and grand person, it doesn't matter, because God sees the potential, the possibility, and the promise of who we are before we become that individual. And then he calls us for the work that he has placed in us to do. And he's looking for real people to do that work. Real people that are changed by his love, that become the individuals that he can use to further the kingdom and to promote the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, are you willing today? Can you say it like Isaiah? Here am I, Lord. Send me. And sometimes that send me ain't far. It could just be a witness at home, be a witness on your job, be a witness in your community. It could be serving in your home, serving in your community, serving in your church setting, serving in a place where you're giving of your time or your talent or your tithes. Are you willing? Do you have a willing heart? Let God use you today. Remember, we all have an assignment. Let's move on to the next part, part two, and where we are going to talk about the life of the Apostle Peter. Okay, so those of you that have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 4 and 21. Matthew 4 and 21. I'll give you a few moments to get there. And we're going to jump down to that 21st verse. I'm going to read it in your hearing so we can understand who Jesus was dealing with and where he came from. Matthew 4 and 21 says, going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed them. And verse 18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net to the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. So 18 and 21 talks about the calling of these siblings. I talked to you earlier about Andrew was earlier called. Then he went and got his brothers. And you will see in the Gospels, the other sections of the Gospels, of the Synoptic Gospels, you'll see that the call first went to Andrew. And so the question there says, where did Jesus find Peter? He found him at work. He found him casting a net into the sea. He found them at work. He found Peter working. Question number two. And so what was that occupation? What was he doing? Peter was fishing. Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus found Peter working, and he was working fishing because Peter was a fisherman. And then what does Jesus proclaim to him to become? We see that right there in 19. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus takes the occupation that Peter is already in, and he says, I'm going to expand, build upon what you already know to do, and turn it, shift it, come on here somebody, so that it can be an instrument in the furtherance of the kingdom. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. It's like you reel in those fish in the seas. I'm going to use you to reel in the men that want to know more about me. Praise be to God. You see how God works in our lives? He doesn't often have to change everything about us to use us. And he can use what we already are, praise God, to bless others in our circle, or to be used for the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. So Peter was a fisherman. He was working when Jesus found him, and Jesus proclaimed to him that I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Number four, let's talk about where Peter was born. If we go back to John Gospel number one, we go to John's Gospel and chapter 1. Go to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. You'll see where Peter was born. Okay, Peter says here in 42 to 44, I'm jumping all the way down near the bottom, and he brought him to Jesus, starting at that 42nd verse. And when Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. 43. The following day, Jesus went to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Let me repeat that. 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So, let's answer question number 4. Peter was born in the city of Bethsaida. Peter was born in the city of Bethsaida. And then he moved and lived in the town of, and we're not going to shift back over to Matthew, but when you get a moment, go to Matthew chapter 8, around that 5th through the 14th verses, and it'll tell you that he lived in the town of Capernaum. He lived in the town of Capernaum with his wife and his family. That particular narrative talks about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. Well, you don't have a mother-in-law most times unless you have a spouse, or have an in-law, you have a spouse. So Peter was born in the city of Bethsaida along with Philip. And then he moved to the town of Capernaum with his wife and family. And then we go to question number 5. We're talking about the Apostle Peter and getting some background on him. For those of us that didn't know these things about Peter, this is able to give us a little bit more in-depth information about who he is and was. And so we see that the name of Peter and Andrew's father, because Andrew was his brother, was Jonah. J-O-N-A-H. Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." That's back up there in verse 42. J-O-N-A-H. So Peter's father's name was Jonah. Question number 6. What is this new name then that Jesus gives to Peter or to Simon? He says, backing up again, verse 42, he says, "You shall be called Cephas." C-E-P-H-A-S. Let me repeat the spelling. "You shall be called Cephas." C-E-P like Paul, H-A-S. And that name is translated stone, a stone. Jesus gives him a new name upon meeting him, and that name is Cephas. And we're going to refer back to that throughout our talking about Peter. But it is important that, again, remember, let's go back to what we said earlier. Jesus sees the potential, he sees the possibility, and the promise of who you are before you even become that. Here he is already declaring to Peter, "You will be called a stone now, but you are going to show forth those at a later date." Wow. That's what he does for us. He sees the potential, the possibility, and the promise of who we are, and he declares it in our lives, and we don't always see it. But when we look back, glory to God, we see God's hand over our lives, and we know that it's because of what God has called us to be and to do that we're able to do those things. And that's the same as Peter. So right here at the beginning, Jesus declares Peter to be a stone, Cephas. And so we translate Cephas into Peter. That's how we get Peter from, again, translation of Cephas in the Hebrew to the Greek, a Petra, Petros, and into later English, Peter. So that's where we get the name Peter from, this name Jesus gives him of a stone. And Petra or Petros is stone. Okay. And so we see today, Peter is already given a personality that is going to be a blessing in the work and the spreading of the good news. So, let's move on to question number 8. And now we're talking a little bit about Peter working and walking alongside Jesus and developing into this person that Jesus is using. But again, as we're going to see, Peter had a personality that was, something that would stir him to be very bold. Peter had a personality that would stir him to be bold and impulsive. Okay? And so we talk about Peter being the stone that Jesus declares, but also Peter had some qualities that Jesus needed to work on, but he used all of him. And again, that's what we can learn from the Apostle Peter, that God uses all of us, every bit of us. He doesn't say, I can't use you because you have that. No, he begins to work on us and change us and mold us and make us into the individual he wants to be, but he uses all of us. So question number 8 says, Peter speaks a great revelation in the hearing, not only of Jesus, but to the disciples that are also present. And in this narrative, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and they're in this region called Caesarea Philippi, and is well along in their journey in ministry. It's not at the beginning, but a little further down the road. And Jesus asks this question to those in attendance, and he says to the disciples, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, I am. Who do men say that I am? And the disciples began to throw out answers, and some said, you are John the Baptist. Some have said that you are Elijah, and some say you might be Jeremiah, and even others say, if not them, one of the other prophets. But Jesus said, that's what the people are saying. I want to know what you're thinking. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, again, this impulsive, bold individual, willing to stick out his neck before others, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, of course, Peter at this time has seen Jesus perform miracles. He has seen Jesus do great things in his midst, and he had seen some things that caused him to be able to declare. And not only that, but Jesus goes on and says, listen, Simon, not only did you reveal that because of what you've seen, but you reveal that because of my Father who is in heaven has shared with you that I am the Christ. Glory to God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And we know from our study with our pastor, Bishop Luther, that Bar-Jonah simply means son of Jonah or son of John. That flesh and blood, meaning he didn't hear this from others. And even though he might have seen Jesus perform miracles, he may not even have had a full understanding, but he knew Jesus was unique. He knew Jesus was special. He knew Jesus was different from the rest. And so, but Jesus goes on to say, that was still imparted to you, given to you by my Father who is in heaven, for you to declare today that I am the Son of the living God. God dropped that in his spirit at that moment to connect the dots. Amen. So that was the great revelation that Peter spoke during that particular narrative, that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus blessed him. Now remember, I said that Peter is very bold and he's impulsive and he will speak his mind. And so we go to another narrative of Peter walking and working with Jesus. And we see in this particular narrative that Jesus has to now scold him. First, he praises him for revealing that truth, that word. And then this particular narrative we see in Mark 8, down around the 31st chapter, Mark 8, around the 31st verse, we see Jesus then has to scold them because Jesus is now talking to his disciples. Again, this narrative is well along in the ministry of Jesus with the walking with the disciples. It's not during the early part of it. And he's talking with them and he tells them right after Peter has declared that you are the Christ. He says to them that the Son of Man will have to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and in 3 days he will rise again. And he spoke this word openly. But then Peter, who didn't want to hear this because he just got used to Jesus being around, didn't want to see Jesus as being taken away from them, and he began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." So at that same moment that Peter reveals this revelation, and Jesus began to teach them about what's going to happen to him, Peter then ushers out this rebuke of Jesus for saying that, and Jesus had to in turn scold him and say, "You are not thinking of the things of God. You are thinking about desires of the flesh." So Jesus had to rebuke him or scold him because he wasn't on the right track. And Jesus has to do that for us sometimes. He has to pull out coattails because we're not on the right track sometimes, and we're not doing or thinking about the things of God. So be mindful of that, that when we're under the authority of the Lord, he will discipline us. Amen? Yes, that's because he loves us and he wants us to be on the right track to fulfill his desire for our lives and to also cause us to walk in that what? Potential, possibility, and promise that he sees in us. Amen. For his work. So here now in this particular narrative, Peter is scolded because he is not thinking about the things of God. Let's go to question number 10. We're coming down near the end, and we're going to stop right at this section here, give you time to catch up, look over the verses, and fill in the blanks. But right here, number 10, because of his close association with Jesus, he was able to see what heavenly experience. And if we looked in Luke 9 and 29, we would see Jesus and some of the disciples up on a mountain. Jesus took the inner circle. We know there was sometimes Jesus would come aside or slip away, and sometimes alone, and then sometimes he would take a few of the disciples, and Peter, James, and John were part of that inner circle that Jesus would sometimes slip away with and show things to that he didn't show to all of the disciples. And in this particular time, Jesus goes to a mountaintop to pray, and as he's praying, the word says here in Luke 9 that his appearance is altered, his robe begins to turn white and glisten, and also appears with him are two, Moses and Elijah, who appear in glory and spoke of his decease when he which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And Peter, who was with him, was heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, you know how you come out of this grogginess, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with them. Amen. And they got to see what we call the transfiguration on the mountaintop. The transfiguration on the mountaintop. Peter, again, with the other two, James and John, was able to eyewitness that time of seeing Jesus transfigured before their eyes. And standing with them was Moses and Elijah, two great prophets from the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah, those that walked with God, who were mighty in the earth realm. Moses and Elijah, because of his close association, being part of that inner circle, he was able to experience that. And again, this is Peter being bold and impulsive, being rash and hurriedly making a decision. what does he suggest they make? And we see in verse 33, he says that when it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And again, scripture reference, not knowing what he said. Sometimes he spoke out of a lack of knowledge and not looking at the things of God. All right, so he suggested that they make a tabernacle for the three, a place where they could worship them in a sense, or to hold them in esteem. And Jesus said, "Oh no, we can't do that. No, we cannot do that. The one I am lifting up," God comes out and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. So it was Jesus God was highlighting. Moses and Elijah came to offer spiritual support, as you would say, and to affirm in the eyes of those disciples that Jesus was real and really connected. Because again, look at the two that came, Moses and Elijah, two very prominent Old Testament characters, not just any prophet, but Prophet Moses and Prophet Elijah, great leaders in the Old Testament, came and stood by his side. But who was God at the moment in time using to promote his glory, to promote his work for kingdom building? It was Jesus. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Listen to him." Because when the voice stopped speaking, who was left there? Jesus. Alrighty. Question number 12. We're going to stay right there in Luke. And if you have your Bibles again, go over to Luke 22. And let's see. We're talking about Peter's life working with Jesus, walking alongside Jesus, being in close association with Jesus. Let's go to Luke 22, go down to 33. And it says, the word says, "But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Listen to that. Let me repeat that. "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Now, this is Peter making that declaration to Jesus again when Jesus talks about what might happen to him and what he may suffer and what has to take place. Peter stands up bold and courageous and says, "Lord, I am willing to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus is saying to Peter, "Listen, I'm telling you, Simon, the enemy wants you. The enemy wants to destroy you, sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me," look at that, "when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So Peter, Jesus is saying to Peter, "Listen, some things are going to happen in your life. The enemy is going to attack. He is going to try to destroy you. But I am praying that your faith holds out." Don't you know the Lord prays that over our lives too, that our faith holds out, and that because of the trials and because of the things we go through, we can go and testify of his goodness, his power in our lives, and what? Strengthen our brothers and our sisters, because our testimony, glory to God, can show forth the power of God in our lives, and that he is able to do great things and keep us and sustain us. And that is what Jesus is saying to Peter. "When you return to me, you're going to fall away for a moment, but you're not going to stay down. You're going to get up. And when you get up, I want you to declare and to declare my goodness and power in your life, and to strengthen your brethren." Jesus predicts what would happen to him, that his faith, that his faith would be strengthened. Because in 34, he says to Peter, "The rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me." So Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him, not once, but three times. And before the rooster would crow, "Before the rooster shall crow this day, you will deny me three times that you don't know me." But I'm praying for you, Peter, that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me. Oh my goodness, that reminds me of many other times in the Bible when Jesus said, let us go to the other side. It already tells us that there is an appointed end. Oh my goodness, so he's saying to Peter, you're going to have to go through this, but when you return to me, he's already telling Peter that it's not going to last, because I am praying that your faith does not fail. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Our last two, 13 and 14. Let's go back to Matthew 26, and we're going to wrap up right there. Matthew 26. Let's look at that chapter and see what happens in this particular narrative with Jesus and Peter being a part of that inner circle and that group of 12 disciples. Matthew 26, 51 and 53 says this. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Here we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we are before the trial of Jesus. Here we are with Jesus praying and the disciples there. Here we are where Judas has made the decision to betray Jesus. Here we are with the soldiers and the guards of the temple coming to arrest him. Here we are where Jesus is praying, praying so hard that, like I said, that a droplet of sweat like blood dropped from his forehead. And here we are with the disciples again, the three where he said, come and pray with me, had fallen asleep again. Just at the transfiguration, they fell asleep. Here they all sleep again. And at that time when Judas and the soldiers arrive, Peter jumps up again, being bold, being brash. What does he do in the Garden of Gethsemane? According to this particular verse, he's that one who cuts off or strikes the ear of the high priest and cuts off that ear. What does Jesus say to him in 52? But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or 53, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But 54 is what undergirds why Jesus said what he said. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So Jesus said, put away the sword. This must take place. I don't need you again to intervene with your human desires. Remember, Peter had the ability to look at things with the spiritual insight and also fail to see the connection in the situation. So here it is again. He fails to see the connection and he reacted out of his humanness. And he strikes the ear of the guard, cuts off that ear. And Jesus said, oh no, that's not what we're going to do, because this needs to be done, that the scriptures of the prophets must be fulfilled, that the word of God may be fulfilled. So even though Peter was being bold and brash and thought he was doing the right thing, he wasn't. And Jesus again had to scold or rebuke him and tell him that's not the way that I need us to go. And last question, how did he deny knowing Jesus? So we stay right there in that chapter of Matthew 26 and we go down to 72. And remember now, earlier Jesus had predicted what? That he would deny him, deny knowing him, not once, but three times. And we see in 72 to 74, but again, he denied with an oath. So, he was strong in his denial of Jesus. So much so, he denied him with an oath. Some say by cussing. But he was saying, I don't know this man. That's right. As some people would say, God is my witness. I don't know this man. So he denied knowing Jesus with an oath. He declared it so with an assurance that he was not connected to Jesus, not once. Because here we see in 72, it says, but again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And remember, Jesus had predicted earlier that he would do that very thing. In 74, we see he then begins to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. That was the third time he denies Jesus. And immediately, a rooster crowed. Can you imagine what Peter must have felt? Can you imagine how his heart must have broke in so many places? The very thing that Jesus predicted came to pass. The very thing that Jesus said would happen. But here's the good news. Remember what I said. When Jesus said that to Peter, he also said, but when you return. At that moment, I'm sure Peter didn't remember those words. But he said to him, when you return. So Peter had to repent of that and also connect to that thought that he was not left alone. But we'll see that much later in his life. Or I should say, in some time later in his life where he gets restored. For right now, we leave you with the thought that sometimes in our humanism, we think we can handle things, but oftentimes we fail. And we need the power of God in our lives to accomplish those things that we want to do in the kingdom. Amen. And we see that with Peter. He said, I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. And the moment he was able to show forth that, he did the opposite. He turned and fled. He denied knowing the man. And he did so with such conviction to make sure others would believe him. So we can't do it in our humanness. That's right. The work God has for us has to be under the power of God in our lives. That's even just living. Amen? Praise be to God. I want to thank you all for joining us here today with our lesson on the Apostle Peter. I hope and pray something shared was a blessing and that you all got something from our lesson. Again, I want to apologize for any hiccups that took place in our portrayal or presentation. And I pray again that you are blessed. We're going to pick up where we left off on our next meeting. Until that time, God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.